Anna Glavinsky on TRE in the afternoon.
We're speaking to someone who is finally French. Mark Greenside is talking to us about his accidental life in Brittany and the brand new book. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you for the call.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you here. How is it that you ended up moving to France accidentally? That's not a normal state of affairs with most people.
Actually, the story of my first book about living in France, and that book is called I'll Never Be French. And I actually did an interview with you when that first book came out. I had a girlfriend who sort of made me go. I didn't really want to go to France. I had been there once before, earlier, and it wasn't a great experience. I had little interest in returning, but I had a lot of interest in being with her at the time. And the only way I was going to be with her was to go to France with her. And she had been to Brittany before, and she had wanted to go again and wanted to show it to me. So I went and I saw it, and we fell out of love, but I fell in love with Brittany.
Right. And I've definitely never, ever spoken to you in my life before. But like I say, I'm really happy to have you here on the radio talking about this. But was there any moment during your life in France where you had sort of cultural misunderstandings or language misunderstandings or any other type of misunderstanding?
Every day. Even now, my French is miserable. When I first got here, of course, I had almost zero French. I didn't know how to say things in any approximation of French, but I was a writer when I came here, even then. This is 30 years ago now, and I knew how to paint pictures. So, for instance, with words. So, for instance, when I went into a store and asked to buy a chicken, I wanted a free-range chicken, but I didn't know how to say free-range chicken. So I said, avez-vous un poulet au bouquet de promenade? Do you have a chicken that walks around a lot? or when I wanted milk, I didn't know how to say milk at the time, lay. So I asked for avez-vous le jus de vache?
And I'm laughing because if for anyone who doesn't understand, that he's been asking for cow juice.
Right. Many experiences like that. I went into a charcuterie and asked for, instead of 10 slices, I asked for 10 kilometers of sausage. These things happen all the time, and sometimes they're embarrassing. But they make for great stories.
And, I mean, you say that your French, you're still struggling with it. How does that affect you being accepted into the community? Have people welcomed you with open arms?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I think there are a couple of reasons. I think, first of all, I'm a writer, and writers are revered in France, and that gives me a good shot up, which is quite helpful. And actually, also, people in France seem to like Americans. They are not particularly the government or the culture, but they do like people. And that also makes it a little easier for me to sort of fit in. I feel very, very comfortable here. It's sort of astonishing, given how little I know about the rules and the culture and the customs. I mean, as much as I read, I still don't know enough. And my language skills are very, very rudimentary, as are my reading and writing skills.
But as we all know, communication with other people is not all about language. There's so many other ways of communicating. So I'm really pleased to hear that you have been accepted. It's a tiny village, just 500 people. Yeah. How different is that from where you originally came from?
I was born in New York. And I lived in New York for the first, 18, 20 years of my life. And then since then, I've lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. So all of my American life is urban, very urban. And it's one of the things I like about the village in France. It's small, and it's a very, very different life for me. One I never thought that I would, you know, ever like or get used to, or, you know, want people. I lead a private life in the States. In France, my life is very public. There's no hiding. Everybody knows everything about everybody in the village.
Wow, that's nice. So is it the sort of place where you walk down the street and you stop and have a chat with, you know, 50 people yeah. before you can even get yourself a loaf of bread?
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's in France generally that everything is about people and about personal relationships. You know, like in the States, I'll drive to a 7-Eleven, jump out, buy something, get back in the car, and go home. There's no such exchange here like that. You go into a store, you start with hello. You maybe start with, you know, go into how are you. If you know the person, you talk about the family. You always talk about the weather. And there's just no quick exchange because everything is very, very personal.
And what about, you just mentioned as well about unwritten rules, and this comes up in your book too. Are you able to give us any examples or, you know, stories of awkward moments?
Let's see, of an unwritten rule. Yeah, you know, I don't know enough to know what's written and unwritten. You know, I know when I break them. For instance, yesterday I had dinner with friends, and the person's adult son was there. I'd never met him before. And, you know, I introduced myself and I said, I'm very happy to meet you. And I used vous, which is formal.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you know, tu toi me. And I said, no, I never do that. No matter how much I know someone or how close I feel, because I know I'll always make a mistake. And I don't want, I know that's a serious line to cross with the wrong people. And because I don't know enough about language usage, I play it safe, and I always use vous, even with my closest friends. And I know it rankles them, and I know, you know, they hear it and they get jarred, and they, you know, because they all use too with me. But once I start going back and forth, I know I'm going to get into trouble.
Yeah,
or just
I guess
stay away from it.
It makes it easier just to conjugate one set of verbs as well, doesn't it? If you're already struggling with French,
it's the same way with driving. I know how to get to a place one way. Well, I'm going to get lost.
And what about food? You know, that's a really big part of the French culture. What do you like about it? Anything that you've had to get used to? How different are things from your world of food before moving to France?
Well, of course, you know, I'm in Brittany, and in Brittany, the basic foods are crepe, which I really never had in the States, except, you know, for a dessert maybe in a restaurant, rarely. And here, of course, it's a common meal. And they're not dessert crepe, they're dinner crepe. And they have, you know, all kinds of wonderful things in them, from mussels and scallops to ham and vegetables and nice sauces. And, you know, they're delicious. And usually the ones in the States are made with white flour. The ones here are made with buckwheat. So it's got a completely different taste. The other thing that's different is the seafood. I mean, we have fresh seafood, of course, in the San Francisco Bay Area. But here, the fresh catch comes in every day. There's a wide, wide variety of shellfish and, you know, regular fish. And they're easy to get. There are different kinds of fish than in the States. And I don't always know the names of what I'm buying. And I don't always recognize the cuts of meat, because the cuts of meat are different also. And there are things I won't eat. Like my wife will eat gizzard salad. I won't eat that. And I won't eat Andouille sausages or blood sausages, or things that I just can't get my head around.
One step too far for you.
Yes.
And what to you? You're, the title of your book is I'm Finally, Finally French. What does that mean to you in both practical terms and sort of emotional terms?
Okay, that's a really good question. So the books are a progression. The first book is, I'll Never Be French. And when I got here and after I was here with my girlfriend and I bought the house, what stood out to me most was how strange everything was, how different everything was. And that's what I saw, the strangeness, the differences, and that, my perception was, I'll never fit in here. This is going to be a long journey. Overcoming the differences would actually be impossible. In the second book, not quite mastering the art of French living, I'm trying to figure things out. I'm trying to figure out the ropes, how to get things done. What stores can I touch the tomatoes in and what stores can I touch the tomatoes in? And I'm thinking, the more I learn, the better I speak, the more rules I can understand, the better chance I have for an easier life here and fitting in here. And that was sort of the second book. So at the end of every chapter, there's a list of 10 things that I learned. And that book is really about trying to learn, understand, and master to some extent a life here.
Which
third book?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, okay.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds, really like you've got there or you're getting there, but I think you're about to expand on that yourself.
Well, thank you. So the third book sort of moves away from that. In the third book, I sort of recognize, I'm never going to know enough. My French is never going to be good enough. I'm never going to understand all of those. For instance, I have a friend who's lived here for 40 years, and she's Canadian. French is her second language, but she's totally fluent. But she can't master the gender, masculine, feminine,
yeah,
of the words. And she's always being corrected at that. And, I have friends who are university professors at Cal Berkeley, and they're always worried about their French. It's not good enough, or something has changed, and they can't master it, or whatever. So by the time of the third book, I've come to recognize, I'm never going to master this stuff. I'm never going to understand enough, no matter how much I try, no matter what I do. And it doesn't matter, because what really matters, and this is what I discover in the third book, is not what I know, it's how I feel. And the bottom line is, I feel comfortable here. I feel like I belong here, like I fit in, like being here makes sense. My wife says I'm nicer here. That's probably because I don't have any language.
You can't say what you're really
like
thinking.
Exactly. So, that sort of puts real limits on me. But what she really means is I'm becoming more like her. In the States, I'm much more argumentative. I'm much more pushy. I'm a type A American male, I like to get things done. Here, I can't get much done, no matter how much I learn and all that. And so, in the third book, I sort of switch gears, and it's more about, I just feel like I fit in here, like I belong here, I know I'm comfortable here. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think one is, in a sense, it's a homecoming for me, because all of my grandparents were European. They were all born in Europe. My father was born in Europe. He was born in Hungary. My father's parents left Hungary in 1920. And moved to France. They actually lived in Strasbourg for 9 years. And my father and grandmother emigrated from France to the United States. So 100 years later, here I am, I'm back. It feels very comfortable to me. I grew up with European culture, music, literature, dance, furniture even. I mean, they had their old furniture. So that part was very comfortable for me. Another part is, you know, again, as I said before, I'm a writer, and being writers are cut a lot of slack and also have a lot of respect, and that makes it easier for me. Then there's also sort of the French value of privacy. People leave you alone. It's like, he's that weird guy over there that lives down there, and who knows what he does, but he's not bothering anybody. He's okay. So, you know, that makes it easier for me. And then there's this strange thing about Americans. You know, French people live by many, many, many social rules, but they love the crazy Americans, you know, Jerry Lewis, the Marx Brothers, Abbott and Costello, the Three Stooges. These are all really popular in France. And in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, Buffalo Bill and Annie Oakley. And what they like about these people is that they're different. They cross the line. They cross the boundaries. They're sauvage, savage. And it's not that they want that for themselves so much. It's that they sort of like it in others. But one of the things I've seen that really has fascinated me is that when I'm with French people, because I cross the lines and the boundaries, not knowing, you know, what they are or where not to go, and also because I'm an American and we sort of move in different ways, they do too. And they wind up, I see them with French people and I see them with me, and they wind up acting differently with me and with my wife than they do with each other, because we make it safe for them to cross boundaries also.
That's lovely. Right, I'm going to have to wrap things up there, Mark. We're just running out of time, but a really, really heartwarming story. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. The book is called I Am Finally French, My Accidental Life in Brittany. If you'd like to get your hands on it, you can find it on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop or on Amazon.